Let us pray. Dearest Jesus, you burst forth from the grave, proving to be the very Son of God with all power and might at your disposal. Help us to rejoice, since we know that you rose from the dead for our justification. Give us the confidence to believe and trust that death will not hold us either. Like you, we will one day break open our tombs and live and reign with you, the Father and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Please be seated. As you can imagine, there are amazing lessons that God teaches us through that first Resurrection Sunday. Things that we've probably read and have heard for decades, but probably have kind of glossed over them or didn't give it much attention. We'll rehearse once again the women as they go to the empty tomb. After the Sabbath, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had driven seven demons, saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." When the other women entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples." One of the first things that strike me when I read this is that the women went to the tomb expecting to find a dead body. That's what those spices were for, to anoint the body so that the odor would not be so severe. Even though Jesus told them that he would rise on the third day, they were expecting him to still be in the grave. Not only that, but God still pays the women ultimate respect by sending his angels to the women to let them know that the Savior had indeed kept his promise and that he was raised from the dead. The angels told the women that gospel message. Christ is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. So the angels give the message to the women. And now the women in turn become angels, because angel means messenger. So the women become angels to the disciples and give them the message too. That's the way God still works. We receive the message from him through his word, and now we are to become angels and give that message to someone else. We sing our next hymn. Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. When we hear that both Peter and John were running to the tomb, we find that both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. So John actually reached the tomb first, but he did not go in. John hesitated to go into that tomb where they placed Jesus. That could be for several reasons. It could be because, of course, he was careful to follow the Levitical law, that he was not supposed to be around or even touch dead things. So going to a tomb would have made him ceremonially unclean. Could also be that John had a more sensitive nature than Peter. John is also known as the Apostle of Love. And all through his writings, he speaks about the love of God to us, the love that we are to give to one another, and the love that we are to have for the things of God. We don't know exactly why he did not go into the tomb, but we know that when Peter arrived, he did go in. Peter is the one who saw the strips of linen, and he still did not understand what happened to Jesus' body. Just as the women went to look and find a dead body, so Jesus' closest disciples went to look and find a dead body. Jesus had preached over and over that he would rise again on the third day. But everyone was going to the tomb to find a dead body. In God's grace and mercy, he is still patient with the women. He's patient with the disciples. And yes, he's patient with you and me. When there are things in God's word that we are slow to believe, God is still patient with us. He works with us and he builds us up in faith. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, but he patiently and gently works with you and me, just as he worked with his disciples in the past. Mary is the one who was there crying even after the disciples left. Mary was diligently looking for the body of Jesus. It never dawned on her that Christ had actually risen from the dead. But here she is weeping and crying. Jesus is speaking with her and she doesn't even realize it's him. She's so filled with sorrow. But then Jesus does something that breaks her out of her stupor. He calls her by name, Mary. And she realizes that it's Jesus. In your baptism, God has called you by your name. And he brings you close to himself. Just as he spoke the name of Mary, and she realized it was the Lord, at your baptism, your name was spoken, and you were baptized into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are part of God's family. Mary wanted to grab hold of Jesus and never let him go. But Jesus says, no, don't hold on to me. I haven't yet ascended to the Father. Jesus still had work to do, as he still needed to teach and train his disciples for his complete departure. There are many things here which we don't have time to discuss. But as we look at this first Resurrection Sunday, we see the despair that those disciples had, the confusion that his followers had, and we see ultimately even the unbelief that they had. By God's grace, this is printed for us so that we will not have confusion. We will not be in despair, and we will not have unbelief. But believe and trust that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We sing our next hymn. Jesus appears to the women. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. But Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. When the women came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Those soldiers were paid handsomely to say that the disciples came during the night and took Jesus' body away. That really doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Because we know that Pontius Pilate actually sent a Roman guard to the tomb to secure it. So that would be four soldiers went to the tomb to make sure no one could get in or come out. And you know from history, the Roman soldiers at that time were the most formidable force on the planet. They were highly trained. But the story went out that the lowly disciples, some of them were fishermen. We know Matthew was a tax collector. They overpowered the Roman soldiers, rolled back the stone, and then took Jesus' body out of the tomb. No, it doesn't make sense. Jesus rose from the grave just as he promised, and there was nothing that the Roman soldiers could do. That makes more sense. Since Jesus is the Son of God, those Roman soldiers could not stop him from leaving the tomb. That makes more sense than lowly soldiers overpowering the Roman guard. The women went and reported everything to the disciples, and yet the disciples did not believe them. The women, we could say, were the evangelists of the day. They came with the good news. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But those disciples were so deep in their sorrow, they did not believe. They didn't understand. On that first Resurrection Sunday, we could say that those disciples were in their unbelief. They just refused to listen even to the women after the gospel message was reported. There are many people today who still deny the resurrection of Christ. There are many people today who still don't believe that he is alive and well. Well, the gospel message is preached. And by God's Holy Spirit and by his grace, we believe it. We trust it. And that trust in the gospel message is what makes all the difference in the world. Because Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. We sing our next hymn. Jesus and two disciples go to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, they did not see. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. But they did not believe them either." On that resurrection Sunday, Jesus appeared to those two on the road to Emmaus. But they were kept from recognizing him. That's what the scripture says. They were kept from recognizing him. What does that mean? Does that mean that Jesus did not allow them to realize that it was he himself? That he kept those disciples from recognizing him? Or could it be that because of their unbelief, they never even thought that it could be Jesus? Was it because their eyes were filled with tears and they could not clearly see the person who was speaking to them? We don't fully know. But they did not realize it was Jesus. Jesus began to talk to them, to try to get them to open up about what's going on in their hearts. And finally, they bring the heart of the matter to the front. They talked about how Jesus was crucified, and then they said, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So in their minds and in their hearts, their hopes were dashed to pieces when they saw Jesus nailed to the tree. Everything they depended on basically fell apart on that Friday when Jesus died. We had hoped that he was the one, but they killed him on Friday, so I guess he's not the one. They didn't even look for the resurrection on the third day that Jesus promised. Their faith ended when Jesus died. So Jesus had to give these disciples a Bible lesson. He said, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe everything that the prophets have spoken." And then we're told, beginning with Moses, meaning the Old Testament, he basically had to open up and reveal to them what was said about him in the Old Testament scriptures. Did not the Christ have to suffer and then enter his glory? In other words, Jesus was saying, yeah, you saw me die on Friday, but that was all part of what God told you would happen. But the resurrection is also part of what God said would happen. Don't just stop at the suffering and the death, but think about the resurrection that I promised you. I told you I would rise the third day. And finally, it started to make sense to these disciples. And after Jesus disappears, they said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They realized that it was Jesus. The Lord had risen indeed. And that very same day, they ran back to Jerusalem to say everything that happened. They were so overjoyed knowing that Jesus was alive and well, that their faith was not misplaced, but it was in a secure location, meaning that it was in Christ. Our faith too is in a secure location, meaning our faith is in Christ. There are so many different religions, so many different fly-by-night belief systems, but there is only one Christ who lived perfectly, died tragically, rose triumphantly, and ascended gloriously. Our faith is founded in him, and whoever puts their trust in him will never be put to shame. Amen. We now hear from our senior choir. Thank our choir for beautifying our worship service. And they are singing from our Christian worship hymnal. That's the one that was produced by our synod last fall in August. So hopefully you're enjoying some of those new tunes that probably you haven't heard before. And now our elders will function. If there are any loved offerings or donations, they will be gathered. Let us pray. God of all grace, we thank you for the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and by the faithful testimony of the apostles, you have assured us that our faith stands on a sure and solid foundation. Though we do not see Jesus with our physical eyes, help us see him with the eyes of faith. Through your Holy Spirit, breathe on your church that it may faithfully proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and diligence in all lands and to all people. Grant that we also may be illumined by the heavenly light of your word, and so keep us in the one and only true faith. Preserve us from all assaults on our souls. Deliver us from doubt and despair. And preserve us from worldly wisdom and false teaching. Forgive the sins of your people. Strengthen the doubting and faithless. Bring back the forgetful and wayward. And comfort the anxious and the distressed. O resurrected Lord, we continue to pray for the family of Earl Saffold, who laid to rest their loved one, Betty Saffold. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to comfort their hearts as they now have to go forward in life without Betty, who has been with them for many years. We pray that you would continue to work in their hearts a belief and a trust that the resurrection is for all of the people who believe and trust in Jesus. He promises, because he lives, we too shall live. May this Resurrection Sunday remind us all that this life is only for a short time, but the life that you have prepared for us is eternal. We also pray, O Lord, that you would comfort the Kendrick family at the passing of my uncle, Levi Kendrick. We thank you, Lord, for granting him life in Christ. And we pray that now you would be with the family as they move forward without Levi. Continue to keep them grounded in the true Christian faith. And we pray that you would comfort the entire family with your gospel promises and cheer them with the sure hope of a blessed reunion in heaven. Grant a lifeless body rest, and at last, together with us all, a joyful resurrection. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain hearts of wisdom and finally be saved through Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, God of grace, you have filled our hearts with resurrection joy by your victory over sin, death, and the grave. With the church of every age, we offer you unending praise, for you have crushed Satan's head and have removed our guilt. Holy Spirit, God of grace, you have called us by the gospel and brought us to saving faith in our risen Lord. Keep us with Jesus Christ and the one true faith. As we journey through life, make us yearn for the day when you will give eternal life to us and all believers in Christ. Work through us as we proclaim the saving message of the crucified and risen Jesus near and far, so that many others may hear your call, obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, and join us before the throne of our God and of the Lamb. Hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Christ is risen. Thank you for being here this morning. I had a pretty hectic Saturday. I actually left after our Good Friday service, heading back to Detroit. And I went there for the funeral of my Uncle Levi. Got there Saturday, had the funeral, and then drove back Saturday to be here for the morning. So if things are a little off, then you probably understand it's been pretty hectic. But joyful. We know the resurrection is real, and so heaven is our home. Here are a few announcements to keep in mind. Everyone is invited downstairs for the breakfast. And also remember, we have a 10 a.m. service, which will be different from this 8 a.m. service if you would like to stay. Also, thank you to everyone who helped make the breakfast possible. Thank you also for those who helped decorate the chancel and the pew torches. Those are nicely done. Also, there is a resurrection service at Northside Lutheran Ministries. This will be at 11:30. So if you see me dash out after the 10 o'clock, that's why. The 11:30 at Northside. Then Tuesday, the Bible study at Northside, 11 a.m. And also we have our food pantry, which will run from 12 to 2. And this is the change. Our Board of Education meeting will be Wednesday. And the reason for this is that we are expecting a call list from our Senate officials, but they will not be able to pull that together until Wednesday the 12th. Our meeting is normally Tuesday, but since we'll receive the list on Wednesday, we'll just move our meeting one day hence. And then, of course, Saturday is the funeral service for Mrs. Saffold. That'll be here at Saloa. The viewing will be at 11, and then the service will start at 12 noon. So those are the announcements. May the Lord be with you. As you remember, Jesus' resurrection is for us too. Amen.